Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? What a magical day sitting here in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I am in person, not wearing a mask, not behind a computer, sitting in this brand new state-of-the-art video podcast studio that we are going to have a conversation today about high stakes freight. And so it's almost like the podcast is starting a new podcast again, even though I did many of these at conferences and then COVID like shut the world down. As I was like traveling here, I was like, oh wait, I got to be here. And I was like just relearning the moving parts. But I'm in person, and I'm going to kind of tee this up to say, tribe, what the main message for we're going to talk about today is that the one-liner is that transportation many times is considered an afterthought. And I want to talk through why is that, right? When it comes to high stakes freight. And how is this going to benefit you is that I really want us to be inspired and think more critically about logistics. And that word, when it comes to the world of just in time, especially with the art of construction, the art of logistics is that secret sauce to make you more money with high stakes freight, right? And that's what this whole platform is about, is to say, let's get the ace in the hole for construction, right? And so those are words coming from Carson Holmquist, is who I'm here with today. And we did this story a little bit different, and I want to make sure the tribe understands how this is linked on the podcast. And I highly recommend you to go back and listen to AOC show 252, titled Blue Collar Warrior Series, Finding Your Passion in Construction. And what a perfect title, because I'm a passionate guy. Like, and when I walked in here in person today, I met these people for the first time in person, but it was like my long lost friends. And so how is the new world, how do we capitalize on this passion? And most importantly, how do we get more people to be involved in construction and the riches and the niches when it comes to that last mile or the high stakes freight? So Amanda, credit to Amanda again, who reached out through social media. I just met her in person for the first time, but literally, what a warm welcome and what a cool space. So Carson, today we typically do the origin story first, but this one, we're just doing so many things a little bit different. And I think if you want to properly change construction, begin with the end in mind, that's what we got to do, right? And so I'm just totally blown away by how much work you've put into this moment today. And hopefully it's as rewarding as it is for you as it is for me from doing this origin story together. So Carson, thank you for having us come and be part of this high stakes freight team.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming. We're very excited to be able to do this in person, obviously, and the opportunity to speak to the tribe is certainly appreciated. And most importantly, it's great to finally meet you.
You bet. Well, let's get into this how we always do it. I'm looking over there, not a bunch of wonderful beverages on the wall. What's your favorite beverage?
It has to be coffee, and not just any coffee. I've got this soft place in my heart for Folgers coffee. It's what my parents grew up. You know, a lot of people, that's not going to be high on their list, obviously. But I grew up in a household where it was a Folgers household, so just the smell of it and the consistency of the taste is just something I look forward to every morning. But, I mean, I'll drink all sorts of coffee, but...
Super cool. Yeah. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Favorite place? Well, I would say the most interesting place, and it had some good and bad about it, but about 6 years ago, I went to Havana, Cuba. So once the travel was lifted, which obviously was amazing because so few, especially few Americans, get to travel there. But it was kind of difficult to watch too, because you could see the despair in people's faces. Like, they've kind of given up on the thought of their life becoming better. So it was hard to see what such a flawed, you know, political philosophy could do to you know, amazing people, and the city once was so thriving. So that was eye-opening. It was worth the visit, but certainly not a trip you come back with a lot of positivity about, you know, what's going on down there.
A lot of validity to where we're sitting right now today of like, don't let it get to that, right?
Exactly.
If you've went out and seen that and bring it back. What do you like to do when you're not working within the art of construction, when you're dealing with freight? What do you do outside of that?
Well, anyone who knows me knows I'm a big family man. I've got three young kids, so doing anything with them outdoors. I'm a big fisherman. I love bass fishing, fly fishing, so I take them out, go camping. But if it's involving my kids, I'm into it right now. I'm coaching their soccer team, so
cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. Well, Carsten Holmquist, what is your story that led you to being the co-founder and CEO of Stream Logistics?
Well, I grew up in an entrepreneurial household. My dad ran his own business. I worked for him in the summers and you know, got a glimpse of, you know, what hard work looks like, but also the benefits of owning your own business. So I was attracted to that from a very young age. My vision was to always own a business, and I didn't know in what arena. But fortunately, in college, I got connected with an internship at a high-growth startup logistics company. To me, the industry didn't matter as much as, you know, getting in on the ground floor with a startup so I could see the inner workings of how to build a company. It happened to be in logistics. So I gained both the experience I intended to get, which was to learn about startups, but also learned about this industry of logistics and saw that it was such a massive piece of what America is. You know, the distribution of goods is what makes everything possible. So saw there's a ton of opportunity, learned a lot there, and met my business partner, Chad, at that logistics company. And we hit it off right away and thought it would be fun to build something together, something a little more niche, something that wasn't available at the time. And we embarked on building that. And that was in 2012. And it's been a fun ride ever since.
Cool. Well, so I'm here because you and I really connected through talking about new construction methods and how we can move construction forward, which this podcast, The Art of Construction, is specifically for contractors and its affiliates. And the word its affiliates changed from architects was the original word in the whole naming conventions of like finding the riches and the niches of where we fit in. And that word affiliates is one that it's like, you know, a few people said, you're doing what? So I left a killer window manufacturer here, and then I'm coming up and I'm like, I'm going to meet with Stream Logistics. And they're like, well, what? I don't understand how that fits into your business. And I'm like, well, logistics as a whole is a secret sauce, but there's all these new things we're looking at about how to move construction forward. And so I've kind of fallen into, and we on the Art of Construction Tribe are trying to market and brand additional words, just because the word modular or MF, modular factory, has this stigmatism of how they've always done it, right? And that modular is going to be a word forever, but we're using this word system build lifestyle. And so talk to me about the evolution of, you know, how you kind of talked about how logistics kind of found you about building a company. The question is how did you find logistics, or did it find you, and how did you, and from your perception, why am I sitting here today talking to you about system build lifestyle?
Yeah, so logistics certainly found me, but I leaned into it really early. Like I fell in love with the process, and the reason why we're here today is because our company, Stream Logistics, is, we don't consider ourselves a logistics company, we consider ourselves an offsite construction company. And we're in that in the offsite industry. No, we're not building products, but our company is devoted to this industry and we've invested everything in helping it continue to advance. So what we found, so we started working with a few clients in the industry, in the offsite industry, and the capabilities we had built, which have always been centered around quality and high touch, and we've always leaned into the shipments that were more difficult, that required the best within us. And a lot of other logistics companies run from that. We call it high stakes freight, where there's a lot on the line, where it could be thousands of dollars per hour in monetary damage if it's not delivered on time, or it could cost you a client. But we always love the challenge of that, where most logistics companies ran away from that and they wanted the easy freight that they can automate. So once we found this industry, we saw that our capabilities perfectly matched what was needed. Because if you're going to remove the construction process from the job site, to a factory, then that puts more pressure on that delivery to the job site. Because you're going to have, you know, you have a set crew, you've got a crane, you've got a whole team waiting for that product, take it off the truck and you know, start installing it in the construction process. So we know the job site will slow down or stop if transportation is not right.
Totally agree. And high stakes freight is like the perfect naming for it because it is such high stakes. But let's be real about it. Right now, there's so many mini handoffs that become this high stake problem child in construction right now. Things like you better have the right materials there to take a whole, whether it's a finished modular box or panelization or what that is, you better have the people blending the tools together where in construction's always been this way. It's like you have to be able to put it all together in a set of plans and you have to unpack it all and then all these people come back together to make it work. It's just changing the systems of that to where it is much more high stake if you're taking a whole semi that's taking all these jigsaw Jenga boxes and stacking them together all in one day. You know, Art of Construction, we launched a video called What Can You Build in a Day? And it's just showing like building the house. Like traditional construction, you'd see walls and stuff go up and in a couple of days, it looks like this shell and so much has happened, but not really much has happened, right? With the high stakes freight partner, if you have the right foundation, and I've always said a good project always starts with a good foundation. Now digitizing that is the key to the future. And seeing your team and smiling people behind the computer to say, we are an offsite construction company and you're a subcontractor of the new age of construction that is here right in front of us today, right? Right. And the part I'd love for you to unpack a little bit of why does this industry think of transportation as an afterthought? Because that's what I see is like, we'll deal with that when it's done or down the line. But don't we need to begin with the end in mind of think about this as a strategy versus a task?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's the systems built mindset, right? Everything has to be perfectly orchestrated for something to be pulled off in the manner you originally designed. So, you know, the beginning with the end in mind concept, it also applies to logistics. And I understand why maybe it becomes an afterthought because everything these factories are doing is difficult. From the design to the manufacturing, there's so many things to think about. But to them, the challenge is more in the design and manufacturing. It's taking what was done on site, doing it better off site. So it's just not top of mind, the transportation. Now, as they start getting traction and as they become more experienced, they understand how critical transportation is. But the more savvy factories are starting to integrate their logistics teams into the earlier conversations and even affect things like design. So you can optimize, you know, module sizes or box sizes for proper transportation so that you can scale, so that you have reliable transportation, so that it's more cost-effective transportation. So, beginning with the end in mind is important with transportation. And, with our help, a lot of factors have done so and seen massive gains from it.
Yeah, and I don't like the word, but I don't know any better way to say it. Growing up in the industry, right? So spending a little time seeing how it used to say price, service, quality, pick two. That's how I grew up in this industry. And then there's this company called Amazon that changed the whole game, and you have to add speed to that. And it's fascinating how we added speed to this whole thing. And now speed is totally broken for this fifth leg of the stool, which is when can I get it? And so you have to optimize for speed. And to me, where would you want to look at the most of how do you actually speed to finish line when it gets to the job site and actually standardize this stuff when it says what is the freight cost with so many fluctuations? If we systemize this and optimize this for speed, we can take some of those guesswork out of there, which the art of construction at the end of the day is the art of moving money and transactions for this stuff. So can you talk a little bit about how you and what you've done with Stream Logistics to optimize and what you guys do around that angle?
Yeah, I think it all starts with what we're paying attention to. We're dedicated to this industry. So every member of our team is all in on the offsite industry. So we're moving panels, modules, pods all the time. We're seeing these projects. So we're looking for things that others aren't looking for. So it begins with that. So we have a whole suite of things we do before a project ever kicks off. Things like a site survey. We fly out to every single job site before the project begins so that we can meet the site superintendent, we could talk to the set crew, we can see the job site and look for any impediments to a smooth delivery process. So we're looking for proper ingress, egress, where the trucks are gonna get staged. So we have a plan, we get our boots on the ground and we see it. And then that informs what the logistics strategy is gonna become. And then once we start shipping, we have a whole team of people who all they do is manage these type of projects all the time. So we make sure everything goes smoothly, but it's still transportation and it's still construction at the end of the day. So we know things get derailed every once in a while at the factory level, at the site level, or even in transportation. So we have practices to get us back on track, and no one gets back on track better than us when things do get derailed. And the cornerstone of that is just old school communication. We are the central command center for everything related to logistics. So, you know, a lot of times changes at the job site trickle down through us and we push them to the factory and change the pickup schedule or vice versa. But we really take over the entire logistics process. And, you know, I have a mentor, Dan Sullivan, who's got this concept of who, not how. And a lot of people, when they're trying to figure something out, they think, how can I do this? So a factory might think, how do we optimize our logistics? Well, Dan's philosophy is, no, you should start with who. Instead of figuring out how to do something you don't know how to do, figure out who already knows how to do it and plug them into your system. And we want to be the who for these factories on the transportation side. And we've got our own who's for things that we do in our business, but we want to be everything they need to scale their business and make sure that they're not held back by transportation.
I love that. So as you've been in the top funnel of logistics and enriching down into blending offsite and onsite construction and want to be that hub or that subcontractor of blending offsite and onsite construction, what do you think in the construction industry, what do you see as the largest challenges?
Oh man, I would say the largest challenge is, it's a little counterintuitive, is success. Meaning the stick-built guys, they're still making money. They're having success. So there's not this immediate push for them to change.
Why would I listen to you? I'm so backed up and I just can't keep up. Why would I change this?
Why would I risk the money that I'm already making to go chase something better, right? And so there has to be compelling reasons. And some of the leaders in this industry have done it just because they think it's better, right? They haven't needed a financial reason to push into it. But I think that has held back the industry. Obviously, there's some converging factors that are making it more compelling to do offsite. But success is going to be an enemy of massive wide scale change. But I also think the challenges it's just a difficult endeavor. So
totally,
this systems built mindset. There's so many things to consider in the system, right? There's so many factors from windows, right? Like you and I were talking before, like, if you don't think about windows properly in the beginning stages of design, it's not going to be optimized as well as it could, right? Same thing with transportation, but there's probably thousands of little ingredients in there that have to be considered. So it's not an easy task. So, I mean, there should be some grace given to these factories because they are figuring out, they're on the front lines and it'll just continue to get better.
Yeah, well said. You had said earlier about a lot of the shipping companies want to just take easy freight to automate. I think that's how you said it, right? And that really resonated to me. You know, as the world changes and we see different technologies come and go, and I think there's been a lot of early adopters and then the tried and true practices, and we're in this kind of spot of, you know, overflow of data of how do you manage all this stuff? You know, what do you think, you know, what have we learned from that? And what do you think will really stand the test of time when you say, I want to take on the high stakes freight that is not easy to automate, but I'm sure you're really looking at what you can still take to automate.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we have a distinction in transportation that we kind of created. So what you're talking about is routine freight. This is dock to dock freight. It's a shipment of Gatorade picking up at the manufacturing plant and going to a distribution center. So that the goal with that is to get as efficient as possible to drive down costs. They just need that freight as cheap as possible. So automation, taking humans out of the process to reduce the cost is the goal. In high stakes freight, it's very difficult to take the human out of the process because it requires a lot of creativity, a lot of planning, a lot of strategy, high touch, you know, the things we do like going to the job site. There's tangible benefits to doing those things. We can preempt any challenges in the front end. So where we invest in technology, we built all of our own software. It's proprietary. We have an amazing front end for our clients to view a project command portal so they can see everything going on with the project. So we do leverage technology, and there's a ton of automation on the back end of our system. But what that's designed to do is free up our people for the front end so that they can still interact with our clients. They can still be adaptable because in construction, so many changes occur. And if you're managing a project of 150 truckloads, if there's a delay in project or in truckload number 36, everything downstream has some sort of adjustment. So that adaptability has to be done by creative people, which is what we have a room full of. So our philosophy is to leverage technology and automation on the back end, so those predictable tasks, so that we can free up our team to make sure that we can pour that energy into our clients.
I love that. And I guess I want to challenge you and I a little bit here. We keep talking about, you know, you go to every job, and I'm sure some of the people listening to this are saying, well, this is never going to work for me because I'm a little guy that's not going to be able to afford to pay for flights for this person to come out. I just got to do it all, right? The chuck in the truck. And so I would want to say, how do we streamline high stakes freight when these types of things to say, well, you may go to the job site, but you have to begin with the end in mind on every project, right? Because when you say 150 loads, that would be one big commercial partner that you're working with, right? But I think we can also be thinking about this about whole subdivisions that you're going out to set the first house, sitting that, systemizing this, and then letting it go from there, right? To where if people really come into the art of construction as all of us working together, this can just be taken off your plate so that you can go be freed up to go be more profitable and run the deal that all markets are local. Is that, would I challenge you on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we, those site surveys that we perform when we fly our team out, that we foot the bill on that. We pay for that because we know that's not just an investment in our clients, but it's an investment in the impeccability that we're going to be able to offer because it allows us to plan. It allows us to build the relationships required for those moments when we do have to be adaptable. And that investment's well worth it. And we learn something on every single trip out into the field all the time, which helps us on the next project and the next project. We have a flywheel concept where, you know, every single turn of the flywheel, we're getting better and better.
Totally.
So when we work on your project today, we're gonna be great. We're gonna put everything we can into it, but the next project will be even better, and the one after that will be even better. So we're able to automate things, or I shouldn't even say automate. We're able to make things so efficient that if it was another logistics company doing it for the first or second or third time, it's gonna be very expensive for them. But we've been able to systematize a lot of these things, these added value strategies, so that it's not gonna cost our clients that much money to get a much better service. So we're always price competitive compared to their alternatives, but it's because of we've been doing this for a long time and we built these systems and we've made them efficient when they may not have been in the beginning. Yeah. So they get a lot more value while still paying a competitive price because we know that matters as well.
Yeah, and before we turned on the mic, we were kind of talking about, you know, this global and timeless fireside chat, literally sitting next to the fire here. How cool is this? Is that we want to make these moments in time. And we were talking about how great it is to be here in person, but also, you know, interest rates and this kind of stuff of like, as we deal with the changing normals, because I think right now is, if you want to be looking at the future of construction, it's the most coolest fun time I've ever been in my 25 years. Like, it's super awesome, like what is available out there. But how do you think we should set these expectations to these changes with customers of why should I look at this and why should I change my whole business model? Because that's what we're actually talking about doing here instead of just doing it everything by myself on site, to where the project manager is just dealing with 10 deliveries a day of stuff coming in to just put the kit of parts of whatever shows up together to up to 95% finished boxes just coming to the job site. It's a very different management process. How do you think we should set up and deal with setting these proper expectations?
Well, I think to make it compelling, you're going to have different reasons to go modular for different stakeholders. I mean, some people are going to care about speed of occupancy. Like, that's going to be really important to them, right? The faster they can get in there and start capturing some revenue, that's going to be what's important. Some people want, maybe it's more about labor, right? Or maybe it's about saving money. But we have to connect at the level that's important to each individual. But as an industry, what's going to make this easier is everyone continuing to innovate and collaborate. So you take, small wins in a lot of different areas. If we're able to coordinate those and collaborate and package those into a more holistic solution, that's only going to be better and better. So it's really fun to see factories making progress, but all these affiliates that are helping enable them to get better from a software standpoint, from a material standpoint, and transportation standpoint too, is our goal is to help advance the entire industry. And we're gonna do that at a factory level, but hopefully we can make enough impact at each factory we work with to help them be more successful and encourage more people to enter the industry as well. So it is gonna take a tribe and a lot of different people coming together with innovative ways to support those who are actually doing the work, which are gonna be the factories.
Man, you're like the Art of Construction spokesperson. That is it. That is dynamite. I mean, seriously, like I come in here, it's really rewarding to get out and see like your passion and like how you're putting this work into this. Because perspective is, perception is reality, and perspectives of this thing, it takes people that are all in. Like, and that's what you keep saying, and you're showing it, right? Yeah. And actions speak louder than words. So as we close this thing out, and this podcast, we call it the kindling of the Art of Construction. A lot of people that, the podcast is growing, they're like, well, what do you do outside of the podcast? I'm like, what? I help affiliate. I'm an affiliate for a lot of different businesses, right? Because at the end of the day, and that's what's so fun to be able to have this, what the tribe is all hearing you and I as the founders and putting this thing out there. But then we get to go have meetings with your team and talk through about how we can bring this together. So I would highly recommend the Art of Construction Tribe paying attention to what Stream Logistics is doing. And I'm sitting in this brand new studio that I challenge you to say, you said, well, we're going to do some videos and podcasts. I'm like, all right, I'm going to fly out there and let's see if you can put something together. Wow. Like, this is amazing. Your team, what you've done. So tell the Art of Construction Tribe kind of like what's next as I'm sitting here, like what kind of stuff you guys are thinking about doing to put out there.
Yeah. So, the theme of a podcast is going to be an offsite university, meaning we aren't going to be the professors. We're going to have guests like yourself and other people supporting the industry to continue to educate us. Like the number one thing I do, most time-consuming task is learning about this industry. I love it. So I'm having meetings with amazing people. So factory founders or other affiliates, as you call them, tech companies, architects, consultants, and I'm learning a lot. And I think it would be fun to bring other people along in that process. So it's about figuring out, what are the emerging technologies? What's working? Where have things failed in the past? What can we learn from that? And capturing those in video. And sharing it with everyone else so that we can all be learning together. And I think that would be fun because it's something we're already doing. We're doing it behind the scenes, and let's just put it on film. And those conversations are really exciting to me, and I think others would find them exciting as well.
Well, we're big fans of what you're doing. As we work to close this thing out, the questions we always ask, super excited for your answers, is what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to high-stake freights and technology in construction?
Well, I think every factory is going to realize what a competitive advantage and what type of efficiencies they can gain if they do logistics right. Because every set crew we talk to, they say, we can always do more than we're doing out in the field. We can be setting 12 to 14 a day, but a lot of times their limiting factor is transportation, getting the boxes there as fast as they can install them. that's a limiting factor. And then just the level of impeccability that we can offer helps avoid costs, delays, everything else, where if the truck needs to be there at 6, it will be there at 6, and the next one will be right behind it. I think factories are going to figure that out. If it's not us, hopefully they can find a partner that can do that. And that's going to help the industry advance, and it's going to allow them to capture the efficiencies that the whole model was designed to create. And I think some of those are being carved away because of transportation inefficiencies.
I totally agree. And like, the longer I'm involved in this business and the more you get inside of the hood of how construction works, it boils down to logistics, or that last mile,
right?
And the serviceability of that stuff is where you actually win or lose on the project. And most importantly, people are happy. Like, that's where the train falls off the tracks so many times. And if you have a team that welcomes that, and it's not if, it's when something's happened, it's how we take care of it, that is a team that is gold in the success of the project. It's the subcontractor project management team that, let's be real, this is scary stuff to say, I'm going to do what? I'm going to write a check that's half for the whole thing, and I'm going to write the other half before it leaves the factory, and then these couple people are going to set the whole house? That's scary, think about it. And most people don't know what that is. So it boils down to educational marketing. And it takes a lot of us all coming together to change the status quo. But as we cast this big net and bring it down into stream and pulling this all together, what is that one thing you want to leave the Art of Construction tribe to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Start thinking about logistics early in the process. That makes such a world of difference. And the factories that implement that mindset end up doing better. They're way more efficient. Their ability to scale is better, because if you optimize your box sizes or your operations or your loading equipment for transportation, you can get trucks in and out faster. You can scale more because you have access to more different trailer types. Because a lot of these factories are building their units so large that they're limited to very limited certain type of trailers.
Right. And then they say, I'm going to go buy this or whatever. Now you just limited yourself more versus having a company that has access to a breadth of options that you're not cornering yourself, right?
Right. Yeah. There's no scalability to that model, or their scalability is very limited versus leveraging a company like us, where we bring in exactly what you need just in time. Then you can focus on your operations, not worrying about how to build a logistics department. Again, it's the who, not how concept. But if you start thinking about transportation earlier in the process as a factory, then you can consider these things, and you're going to capture the maximum efficiency. And at the end of the day, your projects are going to go smoother, and you're going to win that next project.
I love it. I'm sitting here and I raise my hand and say, all right, I'm a believer. How do I actually change the affiliates I work with to change how I do construction? And I think a lot of you listening to this right now are probably asking yourself that same question. Like, it's not what is modular anymore. It's should I get involved, which is a good evolution. But then you hear the word modular, you start researching, and then the MF this. So that's where we come with system build lifestyle. And it becomes that much more important of panelization, volume, all these different ways of changing construction. So how are you going to do this? Who? Stream Logistics, right? And so that's the part where you listen to these talking tracks of your mentor to my mentor to all of us just putting this together to remove the F word, which is fear of change. And talk about one where we're at right now. It's scary to take this stuff on. It's scary to say, yeah, Devin, let's do a podcast. But I'm not just going to do a podcast. I'm going to do video. I'm going to get this amazing team that's putting all this together. I'm going to create this. And it's all of us challenging each other to step up and move it forward. And we're here now, right? Like, after this podcast, we're going to talk about all these different factories you and I are working with and how we can actually make their businesses better for the Art of Construction tribe to actually blend art and construction, put it together. Like, I'm so fascinated about what you've done. And man, you say 2012, sometimes those days can be long, but boy, the years are short, right?
Because
I
just
own my window company, we just hit 10 years in business. So it's like we're at the same time of putting in that 10,000 hours to say, I know enough to be dangerous here.
Yeah.
But together, boy, we can be strong as the tribe. And back to beginning this with the end in mind is when Amanda reached out of your team, like, you and I can only do so much, right? So in this little microcosm of Amanda and the team to now go have lunch and meet more of your Amandas mm-hmm. and the rest of the team, how cool is that, right? Because we're in the people business, and don't forget about that art of construction.
Right.
Because that's what it's all about. We're using these high-stake freight to take the high stakes out of it through the people that make it work. So
that's well said.
Thank you so much for letting us be part of this. And I'm super excited for what we have. You know, lots of fun stuff you and I are talking about because the collaboration is key in logistics, right?
Yep, I completely agree. It's been great talking with you. It's been great hosting you. And we appreciate everything you're doing. You are making a difference, and people are listening. So thank you.
Cool. All right, crush it out there, tribe.